time for the Easy Organic Gardener. Hello, Easy Organic Gardener listeners. This is your host, Sherry Herrera Day Fry, mom, composter, gardener, entrepreneur, worm farmer, which is my absolute favorite, and Dr. Bug Lady. It's a pleasure to join you this hour. Although it's still cold in many parts of the country, this is the time to get prepared. Successful gardening starts with having the right tools. And right now, the tools at Arbico Organics are on sale. You can go to www.arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com. Or if you want, you can give us a call at 1-800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847, and one of our specialists will be glad to help you plan your garden. Take a look at the Arbico Organics Facebook page, and you can also follow me at Dr. Bug Lady on Twitter. That's D-R-B-U-G-L-A-D-Y on Twitter. When you call in during this hour with a question for my guest or myself, you are going to receive some Fisker stainless steel bypass pruners and a Fisker soft touch swivel grass shears. And I'm also going to send you a Fisker's fiber comp trowel. These are some great tools. And are just perfect for getting your garden off to a great start. So, I'm really extremely pleased to have with me as my guest today, Steve Savage, PhD. Among other things, he's going to enlighten us about the inconsistencies in organics. And so, I think this is a great topic of conversation because there are really a lot of, not just inconsistencies, but, stories and, old wives' tales and snake oil. And so Steve's here to share the information with us so we can be educated and brought up to date. So normally I give a little bio, but what I want to do is just bring Steve on and have him tell us about himself, and then we're going to get right into the questions. So, Steve, welcome to the Easy Organic Gardener.
Thank you, Sherry.
And if you heard that noise in the background, I happen to actually broadcast right from my family room in Tucson, Arizona, and I had forgotten that I put the teapot on, so I had to get up. I had to get up and actually move it. So, anyway, welcome to the show. Give us a little of your background. You are a fairly impressive guy. I did some searching on you, and you've got some amazing blogs, and you've got a great education. So, tell us where you grew up and how you got to be where you are. We want to know.
Okay, I grew up in Denver, and that's probably why I ended up in agriculture because. My grandfather came back from World War One and took the sort of challenge of victory gardening really seriously, and so I grew up helping him in his garden. And went to school in biology at Stanford and took some classes involving plant biology. The Carnegie Plant Research Institute was there, so there was really a chance to get some really good exposure. And I heard about a field called plant pathology. It was the study of plant diseases, and I decided I wanted to go to graduate school in that. So I went to UC Davis for plant pathology and did my PhD there. And been working in various ways in agriculture ever since then. Worked a little while for Colorado State. Then I worked, that was fun, it was in western Colorado. I helped start the Colorado Wine Grape Growers Association. Then I was in Delaware with DuPont for 7 years, and then came back out to San Diego, a little biotech biocontrol company called Mycogen, and worked there. And then the last 16 years, I've been independent consultant for all sorts of players in the ag technology space.
Well, that's amazing. You've had the life of about 10 people. So, and my hat's off to having started the wine growers there in Colorado. You know, I mean, I think that's important.
Well, it's amazing. There's quite a little industry there now. You know, there wasn't much when I was there, but I think there's more than a dozen wineries in western Colorado.
Isn't that great? Well, my sister and her husband have a little vineyard of their own called Rancho Maria. My sister's, her name is Mary Jean, but we call her Maria because we grew up in Central America, and you know, we learned how to speak Spanish, and so it's called Rancho Maria. And they just have 60 acres. Not all of that, of course, is in grapes, but it's so fun to watch their business grow, and you know, every little aspect from the very beginning where there was nothing there, and then they planted their 1,000 vine vineyard, and now people come and they have wine tastings, and it's just so, it's a really sweet thing, and they're making a little money, not much.
There's an old saying which says the way to make a small fortune in the wine industry is to start with a large fortune.
That's right. That's what someone said to me one time. The way you make money, you either marry it, you inherit it, or you steal it. So let's get right into the conversation. You're a gardener. Tell us a little bit about your gardening experience and you know, all about what it's like for you.
Well, having grown up helping my grandfather garden, I've pretty much gardened everywhere we've been. I managed to get a plot on campus as an undergraduate, and then we and some friends had plots on campus in graduate school, and basically gardened everywhere we've been since then, and still do here in San Diego. I bought an old house, so I have a relatively large yard for this area, so I have lots of space for things. I have my own little vineyard. I have all 12 grapevines. So.
Good for you. It sounds so nice. I mean, you've got raised beds and a little greenhouse and fruit trees. I mean, that's the perfect garden. I mean, you've got it. You got everything right there.
Well, the nice thing about San Diego is that you can grow things all the time. I mean, my tomatoes are already 2 or 3 feet high. But the not so nice thing about San Diego is that there's never even a frost, and so pests are just here all the time. So it's actually more of a struggle with pests than it was, say, in Western Colorado. So.
Sure, because they don't, you know, like you say, that with that mild climate, they're you don't get the breaks in the cycles because it doesn't get cold enough to knock them down. So. I think that, we've got 2 minutes, so we want to sort of get started here, but I want to give you enough time. So you've written a lot of blogs about, I don't like to use the words critical necessarily. I think it's more about enlightening people about the information about organic sometimes is not exactly accurate, and while a lot of people they are wanting to do quote unquote the right thing, there's a lot of hyperbole about it and a lot of things that are sort of blown out of perception. And so I know that's one of the things we're going to talk about here. So we've got about a minute. Let's just share with us a little bit about how you got involved in wanting to get the information out.
Well, I was just reading things and seeing exactly what you were talking about there, sort of the myths and sort of overstatements, and then some really negative things like the Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen list, and just wanted to actually get sort of the other side out there. Organic was originally a very positive sort of thing. It was about doing something. It wasn't about a list of things that you don't do. And I think a lot of that's been sort of lost over time. I know my grandfather that I gardened with was an early subscriber to Organic Gardening Magazine from the Rodale Center. And his version of organic was all about building soil quality. That was the focus. Whereas I think now it's kind of become a consumer brand about being afraid of things. That's
exactly the best point. And we're gonna take a quick break, Steve. And when we come back, we're just gonna have you go right from there because this is important. We don't want to have fear about food. So we're gonna come right back. For those of you who just tuned in, you can give us a call. And the number to call is 877-300-7645. We'll be right back.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The coming financial collapse is real. The subsequent social unrest will happen. Even if you made it out of suburbia alive, where would you take your family? Act now to secure your survival retreat in the American Redoubt with the experts at SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. The American Redoubt is the designated safe haven for all liberty-minded patriots relocating to Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Get eyes, ears, and boots on the ground. Get professional, confidential, discreet advice. Get SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. Call 208-627-2855. Save time, money, and stress while you secure your ultimate survival retreat property now, before it's too late. Water, energy, food, defense. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster. With MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry, and you're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. With me this hour is Steve Savage, Ph.D., and he's a specialist in plant pathology and just about every aspect of agriculture. I'm sure Steve is smiling because he says, "I can't possibly be a specialist in everything." But for those of you who are listening, if you have a question, give us a call. The number to call is 877-300 7645, and when you call in, I'm going to get you a set of tools, our Fiskars Soft Touch Swivel Grass Shears that are for lefties and righties, our Fiskars Stainless Steel Bypass Pruner, our Fiskars Big Grip Knife, and our Fiskars Fiber Comp Trowel. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. So welcome back, Steve. When we left for the break, we were talking about how your grandfather, how he showed you or taught you about gardening was about building the soil. And that was really what organics was all about, and how today there's this fear that's going on. So let's have you talk a little bit more about that so we can understand that.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, the organic movement really started in the early 1900s, and it was not based on science. It wasn't anti-science. It was basically pre-science, and so their sort of vision of what would be good would be always what was natural, and, of course, that works very well from a marketing point of view, but it oversimplifies, and because since that time, we have developed entire science of toxicology, the entire environmental sciences area, and certainly climate science as well. And so the rules of organic and the rules as they eventually were codified by USDA organic really weren't informed by any of those sciences. And so that's how you end up with things that are not really rational. This last week, I was speaking at the Specialty Coffee Association meeting, which was a very interesting event to attend. A lot of good coffee, as you can imagine.
I was hoping that you'd say that.
Yeah.
Yum.
But that industry is actually really worried right now because things have been changing. It's been getting wetter and different pattern of rainfall in the sort of tropical highlands where good coffee is grown. And disease called coffee leaf rust, which has been a problem in coffee historically around the world for a long, long time, has suddenly become a really severe problem. And so the growers there, already usually sort of marginal economically, are in real trouble. And a lot of the growers there have been, you know, encouraged by their downstream buyers to get certified organic, which means the only thing that they can really use for this disease is like copper sulfate or something like that. There are far more effective products which are not so easily washed off of the plant, which are much less toxic than copper sulfate, and which don't end up down in the river and kill aquatic invertebrates. So that's kind of an absurd case where, for the sensitivities of some rich world consumer, this poor little farmer is actually in a really bad spot, but hesitant to do anything because they'd lose their certification for 3 years. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that comes because the rules don't say use the very safest, most environmentally benign compounds. It says, no, it has to be natural.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with this issue of copper sulfate in particular, because this is a question that comes to me often, to our, you know, to our company. What about things like copper sulfate? What about pyrethrins? I mean, these are some fairly dangerous, highly toxic products that, generally you're talking absolute last resort, and there's no way that it can be last resort with a commodity like coffee. And in particular, like what you're talking about, you know, this is an industry that relies on a base of employees, if you will, that barely make it anyway. And so, this is one of those examples that we talk about always in integrated pest management. And this is, at least at Arbica Organics, we're very careful about never saying that, it's one way or the highway. It's always an integrated approach. And the idea is you do everything you can to prevent and mitigate But sometimes it gets out of control, particularly when you're talking about monoculture and whether we are talking conventional or even organic. Most of organics, unless you're talking little farms that are referred to as market growers, you know, which are really just large gardens, so to speak. You know, it's all grown monoculturally, and so you cannot avoid sometimes diseases or insect pests that come in, and you have to use things for knockdown. Many of the growers that are not certified organic, that are using least toxic methods, sometimes they have to use a conventional treatment, and then they can back it up with beneficial insects, for example. After you've made a knockdown, you can come in with other products that are not as toxic. But you know, we're talking about people's livelihood here, and they have families, and you know, they have mortgage payments and whatnot. Go ahead.
Well, and actually, sometimes, actually, a great many of the synthetic pesticide options of modern day, you know, I mean, if you go back to the 1950s, this wasn't true, but in modern times, a lot of them are really pretty benign. I looked at, California has full use data on all the pesticides used in agriculture, and I looked at the 2010 data, and 55% of the pesticides that were used are less toxic than vitamin C. 71% are less toxic than vanillin, which, you know, you might have in your latte. And 97% of them are less toxic than caffeine, which most of us voluntarily ingest on a regular basis. So, these are not all scary products. There are certain scary products, and those have to be used, you know, in very carefully restricted ways. But that's really not the norm today.
No, and so, you know, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that, I mean, this is not a conversation about everybody embracing synthetic products. It's just more of a conversation of understanding how food is grown on this planet, and that while it would make great sense if we could do it all, or quote unquote organically, and that word is very broad for me, because that means a lot of things. It goes from the most restricted of restricted, meaning that you are certified, you're only allowed to use certain products, to people that grow organically, and they're not at all restricted, because they don't care to be certified, because they don't want to be told what to do.
Well, that's true too. Yes, that would be true.
Exactly. So, I think there's so many products like that we've talked about that are very toxic, that are approved for organics, and I myself always wondered about how did that happen. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna be talking some more about the differences between organics and what I would call more regenerative or sustainable agriculture. So don't go away. We're coming right back.
Chicago is a virtual battlefield. More than 500 shooting deaths in 2012 have made Chicago the murder capital of America. Proof that gun control doesn't work. Disarming law-abiding citizens ensures that only criminals have guns. And Rahm Emanuel and the Chicago machine want to keep it that way. If we can't stop them in Chicago, we may lose the whole battle. But there's hope. On April 9th, we have a chance to send billionaire Mike Bloomberg, Rahm Emanuel, and his Chicago machine a crystal clear message that we have a natural right to defend ourselves, our homes, and our families, and that they need to keep their hands off our guns. Illinois Republican Paul McKinley is sending that message in a bitterly fought special election to replace disgraced ex-rep Jesse Jackson Jr. Every vote, every voice in support of Paul McKinley is a stand against the gun-grabbing Chicago machine. Will you stand up and defend your gun rights? Call 800-979-1555. 800-979-1555. That's 800-979-1555. 800-979-1555.
Paid for by Tea Party Leadership Fund PAC. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. The Tea Party Leadership Fund.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey Water Filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BlockItPocket.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera Day Fry. My guest today is the amazing Steve Savage, PhD, specialist in plant pathology. And thank you for being with me today, Steve. I really appreciate it. And this is a great topic. I have so darn many questions. I think I need about 3 hours of your time. So I know you want to talk a little bit about some of the unfounded claims about organics, and let's have you share that with our listeners.
Right. Well, I mean, there are a few things that are promoted about organic that are not really realistic. I mean, some people say, well, organic could feed the world. And if you actually look at it, even after many, many years of supposedly rapid growth, commercial organic agriculture still represents only about less than 0.8% of the cropland in the U.S. And the industry likes to talk about how sales are going up at retail. But if you look at what a lot of that sales has been, at least in recent years, is an increase in the import of organic, like dry ingredients, grains or fruit juice concentrates, you know, non-perishable things like that, that end up in organic processed foods that are coming from places like China. And I'm sorry, but I don't actually believe that our certification system, which is sort of based on paper trail, actually works in that kind of setting. So I
think that you have good reason to say that, because it's, you know, it's very difficult to trace, as you say, food back. What else?
Well, I'll single out the Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen list that they come out with each year. What they base that on is a huge study that the USDA does, where they go out and they buy different food sort of samples from regular market channels and take it back to the lab and actually do extremely sensitive testing on it for, they look at more than 300 different chemical residues on each sample. And they publish this data set every year. And what the data set actually shows is that the residues that they find are almost always at well below what's called the tolerance that the EPA sets. And the tolerance is actually already a very conservative measure of risk. So essentially it's a report card on agriculture that says it's amazing that all these, you know, unconnected people are doing their job right and everybody should eat our food supply with great confidence. What the Environmental Working Group does is they take that list and simply count where something's been detected, not paying attention to what level was detected and how toxic the chemical was in the first place. And so it's a complete distortion of the data, which then says, oh, well, these crops are dirty. And they're not. And sort of by artifact, things that we've been talking about, like the copper compounds, or sulfur, which widely used in organic, or even you know, really benign things like BTs and whatnot, that wouldn't actually be detected in the system that's done. And so if you did specific tests for those materials, you would find residues, and they wouldn't be residues that would probably actually be anything to worry about. But by the EWG's methods, it would come up dirty, but it just doesn't, because they don't actually look for those things.
And that's a really important point, I think, to encourage growers, whether they're organic or conventional, to focus on soil fertility, building the soil, which your grandfather, that's where he focused on, building the soil. And because when we build the soil, we naturally have healthier plants resist diseases, they resist insect pests, and we don't have to resort to these kinds of rescue toxic products. And this is something we're always working on. It's that is to look at the soil as that is the, you know, that's the place where everything's happening. If we can make that plant have a higher Brix, for example, insects don't generally like to suck to or perforate a plant with a high Brix. And so these are things that are always comes back to that where your grandfather started, you know, let's build the soil. What are some other things that...
Well, yeah, and so I think one of the things, this is not really applicable to gardening, but more to, you know, large-scale row crop agriculture, you know, where you're growing a crop
right.
like wheat or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
It turns out that the best way to build soil quality is to never till it. If you really step back and think about it, tillage is the worst feature of sort of modern agriculture at all. Modern meaning starting in the early 1800s when sort of plow-based agriculture came in. And so the real cutting edge of soil building on a giant scale is what's called no-till agriculture. And,
exactly.
That's very, very difficult to do under the organic rules because you do need a way to control weeds without mechanically doing it. So, again, that doesn't, you know, really apply to gardeners. Gardeners still are going to use the sort of classic organic approach of soil amendments because you don't really have the time to let your soil build slowly over time. But I think a lot of people do try to use sort of a permaculture type of approach in their gardening and raise beds and things where you're not compacting the soil. That's all good.
Yeah, there are going to be issues no matter what with large scale agriculture, whether it's organic or otherwise. You're right. You've got the issue with weeds, and I know a lot of research has been done over the last 30 years. I just happened to have Dr. Robert Bug visiting this weekend at our home, mm-hmm. and we were talking about the show, and he was saying, you know, in his 30 years of work with habitats and cover crops and whatnot, he said, you know, I just don't see how, you know, we have not seen the weed suppression. We've not seen, you know, all of the things that they'd hoped would happen. He said, in fact, he's quite, what he sees is the opposite, that some of these habitats can actually bring in pests, like Liguus and grape leaf folder and diamondback moth. And so you have to be really careful, you know, when it comes to the overall picture of growing in large agri organic culture, if you will, because you have, you know, you're sort of stuck with what are you going to do about weeds? You know, what are you going to do about pests? What are you going to do of all types, not just the weed pests, but we're talking the insect pests and disease pests. So, it's very tricky. What are some other things that are a little bit off when it comes to the organics versus the conventional?
Well, one thing that kind of comes as a big shock to a lot of people is it turns out that composting, I'm not talking backyard composting here, I'm talking, you know, commercial scale composting, even when done very well with frequent turning and all that sort of thing, there are always some parts of a large pile where there's not enough oxygen, and when that's true, there are bacteria that make methane. And when people have actually measured what comes from a commercial composting operation, the amount of methane that's emitted is really pretty significant. And so sort of the carbon footprint of compost is surprising. Now, if that's happening as opposed to things going into a landfill, it's far ahead of that. But truly the best solution for something like animal manures is to put them in what's called an anaerobic digester, where what you do is let those same kind of bacteria make as much methane as possible, which you then burn for energy. So, for instance, there's the largest onion processor in California, Gill's Onions, had a big disposal problem. You can imagine if you have tons of onion peelings, that's kind of a problem, right? So they installed one of these digesters, and now they not only don't have a disposal problem, they make all the electricity they co-generate from this methane to run their operation.
That is great. That's the real
direction to go.
That's fantastic. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. And the number to call is 877-300-7645 for your free Fiskars tool set.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Tees. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Start life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Youngevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And I prescribe the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, I'm Steve Schultz, Vice President of Training here at Youngevity. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, President of the Genesis Communications Network. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'm going to be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge, and don't miss the Youngevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
For those who know the benefits of silver, for those who know the healing history of silver, and for those who want to be prepared, now there's Silver Gauze, a nylon elastic wrap with silver bonded to each individual fiber. Silver Gauze is a long-lasting, washable, and reusable must-have for any emergency kit. Get yours today at silvergauze.com. Spelled silver, G-A-U-Z-E.com. Silver Gauze is what your emergency kit is missing.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry. It's easy because it's EASY, environmentally and sustainably yours. My guest this hour is Steve Savage. He has a PhD from Stanford in plant pathology, and it's wonderful having you with me on the show today. I actually put together on my own about six pages of notes because I think it's such an interesting topic because it really boils down to growing food for everybody on this planet, and how can we do it in a way that makes sense for the masses, that makes sense for our precious planet that we live on, that makes sense for the future. And I know that sustainable farming is dear to your heart, Steve. And I think that what you're out there talking about is important because people need to understand that it's not easy. And we've got to look at the bigger picture and understand the tools that are available to us. By no means are you advocating, go out there and you see an insect and you start spraying the most toxic pesticide. That's not it at all. And I just want you to elaborate a little bit about that. And I have a couple of questions that I just really want to ask you.
Okay. Well, you've mentioned it before. Integrated pest management is really the best alternative. I mean, and the ideal system is where the plant itself is resistant to its pests. And actually, most plants are resistant to most pests. There are usually just a few that have adapted to where they're able to get around the plant's own defenses. Plants defend themselves a lot. And sometimes the chemicals that they make for their own defense, we end up liking. That would be the case with caffeine or capsaicin in a hot pepper. The plant made those to try to ward off insects. That's the first line. Another approach that people really use a great deal is what we call microclimate modification. So that's everything from pruning in such a way to keep the airflow through your tree good, or it could be even a rain shield or some form of greenhouse, and that doesn't have to be a fancy greenhouse. It can just be a hoop house or something like that. And a lot of that gets used. And, you know, so there are a whole bunch of ways that growers really do control pests without, you know, the chemicals. But the chemicals are very, very important, and depending on the area and the crop involved.
I get, we've been in business a long time, and what I find is many of the conventional growers do run out of solutions. There'll be a type of insect that comes in particularly our area is insect control, so an insect will come in, you know, that's never been there before, or something that was never a big deal issue all of a sudden is out of control and, you know, eating everything, and so they come to us sort of as a last resort. And, I think that this is where we have, where this bridging starts to happen, where, you know, I've been using Malathion, it's not working, I have a grub problem or a cicada problem, whatever it might be, and what can you guys offer? And what we've been able to do is look at it from the biological standpoint. I'd really love to see more of the conventional guys look at some of the options. For example, the beneficial nematodes that do such a great job in mitigating pests in the soil. We had this experience with the largest asparagus grower in the world in Mexico. And they just could not get rid of their cicada and grub issues. And so we went down there and got them on a biological control program. It really worked. They were so excited about it. But one of the things people have to understand is often, and this is one of these misnomers, the misunderstanding is that biologicals are more expensive than the synthetics. And it's not always true. Sometimes they work very well for the crop. It depends on the crop, too. If it's a high cash value crop, where they're used to spending more money on inputs to manage pests, it works just very well. Sometimes it doesn't work as well on a low cash value crop, say something like beans. So you're following me on that, right?
Yeah, I spent 7 years of my career in a company that was developing biological controls, and there are definitely some situations where that is a great way to do it. One of my favorite examples is a thing where there's a fungus called Aspergillus flavus. It can infect various crops, things like nut crops, peanuts, cotton, it gets into cotton seed. And it makes a horrendous toxin called aflatoxin, one of the most carcinogenic things that's known. And there's an approach that a couple of USDA scientists pursued, and I first heard about in the early 90s, which is to say, well, we're going to get a strain of that very same fungus, but one that doesn't make the toxin, and they're going to put spores and a bunch of sources of spores of that and just sort of overwhelm the system so that, things that are going to get infected anyway get infected with a strain that doesn't make the toxin. And this actually works, and it would be a wonderful thing, and it is being developed for third world agriculture as well, because in a place like sub-Saharan Africa, one of the leading causes of death is cancer caused by this toxin. So there are, some remarkable biocontrols, and some of the parasitic nematodes are great, and those are actually very widely used in greenhouse operations.
They certainly are, and it's just really exciting to see, taking it from the small level to the more large level, because the whole idea is it really comes down to money. I mean, we want to be able to grow the best food that we can at the least amount, at the least cost, and so I've had really great results over the years, working in a truly integrated environment, completely conventional. Actually, some of our biggest customers are conventional growers, and they have no interest in becoming quote unquote organic because it doesn't serve their purpose. It doesn't serve their purpose at all, and they don't want to be boxed in to even using some of the organic products that can't be considered more toxic than the synthetic ones. So,
right.
It all boils down to for me, it's nitrogen. You know, how the heck are we, you know, the nitrogen issue is huge, and I think when you think about the inefficiencies on both sides, whether it's the conventional method or the organic method, to me, that's the most baffling of all when you think about the Haber-Bosch process. And what's your comment about that?
Well, actually, it's funny because that's something I'm particularly excited about in the future. Haber-Bosch is really, you know, just a process where the atmosphere is 80% nitrogen, but it's N2 gas, which is pretty much inert. But what Haber and Bosch came up with early in the last century was the system where you take hydrogen and react it with the air with a catalyst, and you're able to make ammonia. And so that's what's called synthetic nitrogen. I mean, ammonia is ammonia wherever it comes from, but that's considered synthetic. The way we've always done Haber-Bosch is to get the source of hydrogen from natural gas, because that was sort of always the cheapest, and it's always been done on a very large scale. It turns out that that's not actually necessary, and there are some groups right now, and they started as people dealing with the problem of wind power, which is that you can't store it, and sometimes you make power at the time of day when you don't really need it. And so they were saying, well, what could we do with that? We can use the wind power to make electricity, and we'll turn that into hydrogen. Well, hydrogen's kind of a dangerous thing to store in large quantities. And they hit on the idea of, well, we could do Haber-Bosch and turn it into ammonia. And then, and store it as ammonia. And you can actually modify an engine to burn ammonia as a fuel, a very clean fuel, actually. Well, what a couple of these groups are doing now is designing small-scale Haber-Bosch or alternative ways to make nitrogen. And what it could be is the sort of thing where each farmer, particularly, say, out in a remote area in the Midwest or something, would have maybe one wind machine, and it would be hooked up to this unit, and whenever the wind blew, they would be making their nitrogen fertilizer for the next year. And I think growers would love that, to be independent of the ups and downs of the energy market.
Well, and especially, you know, with the cost of fuel to transport things. We've got 10 seconds, Steve. I just want to thank you so much. Keep doing the great work that you're doing. I know your heart's always in the right place, which is about making a difference and having the best for all of us. And I will have another wonderful guest next week to join me. And thank you so much for those of you who are listening. And we're going to come right back, as I said, and go ahead and make it a great, easy, organic gardening week. This is Sherry Herrera Day Fry.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract. Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com. Spelled A-L-L-I-C-I-N plus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.